Let's read together Jeremiah chapters 21 and 22. In these two chapters, we have four specific prophecies of judgment pronounced against the last four wicked kings of Judah. Let's begin by reading chapter 21. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord when King Zedekiah sent to him Pashur, the son of Melchiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Maaseiah, the priest, saying, "Please inquire of the Lord for us, for Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, makes war against us. Perhaps the Lord will deal with us according to all his wonderful works, that the king may go away from us." Then Jeremiah said to them, "Thus you shall say to Zedekiah, 'Thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I will turn back the weapons of war that are in your hands, with which you fight against the king of Babylon and the Chaldeans who besiege you outside the walls, and I will assemble them in the midst of this city. I myself will fight against you with an outstretched hand and with a strong arm, even in anger and fury and great wrath. I will strike the inhabitants of this city, both man and beast. They shall die of a great pestilence. And afterwards, says the Lord, I will deliver Zedekiah, king of Judah, his servants and the people and such as are left in this city from the pestilence and the sword and the famine into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of those who seek their life. And he shall strike them with the edge of the sword. He shall not spare them or have pity or mercy. Now you shall say to this people, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. He who remains in this city shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. But he who goes out and defects to the Chaldeans who besiege you, he shall live, and his life shall be as a prize to him. For I have set my face against this city for adversity and not for good, says the Lord. It shall be given into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall burn it with fire. Behold, I am against you, who say, who shall come down against us, or who shall enter our dwellings? But I will punish you according to the fruit of your doing, says the Lord. I will kindle a fire in its forest, and it shall devour all things around it." Let's begin our study of these chapters, Jeremiah chapters 21 and 22, with some background notes. After the reign of good King Josiah of Judah, there were four more kings that came to the throne in the kingdom of Judah. All of these last four kings of Judah were wicked kings and were denounced in four messages of judgment by Jeremiah. Those four messages of judgment are in these chapters, Jeremiah chapters 21 and 22. The four messages were delivered by Jeremiah at different times, and the first one recorded here in these two chapters concerns Zedekiah, the last king of Judah. It was given before the temple was destroyed and before the Jewish people were carried off to captivity in Babylon. We see in chapter 21, verses 1 and 2, that the message of judgment was given in response to Zedekiah's request through Pashur and Zephaniah to inquire of the Lord about Nebuchadnezzar's attack on Jerusalem. We see in verses 3 and 4 that already Jerusalem was under siege by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. Zedekiah was probably hoping for an answer like the prophet Isaiah gave to King Hezekiah more than 100 years before this time, when Sennacherib and the Assyrians had put Jerusalem under siege. At that time, God miraculously delivered Jerusalem in one night. But times were different now. And so the answer from the Lord that Jeremiah gave Zedekiah was not exactly what Zedekiah had hoped to hear. Not only would Nebuchadnezzar successfully invade Judah and Jerusalem, but the Lord himself would fight against Judah because of her wicked ways. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points. Doctrinal point number one: God does not always direct in the same way in similar situations. God does not always direct in the same way in similar situations. Verses 8 and 9 once again. God told Jeremiah that there was a way of life and a way of death. The way of life was to surrender to the Babylonians. If they tried to hold out, they would die. How different this direction was from the answer God gave to Hezekiah when the Assyrians were besieging Jerusalem years before in a similar situation. Why the difference? Well, although the situations were similar, There were other factors involved, as we've seen. And so in one case, the Lord told Hezekiah the way of life was not to surrender, whereas he told Zedekiah that the way of life was to surrender. Exact opposite directions in similar situations. Now, do you see the application here to decision-making in our own lives? God does not always direct in the same way in similar situations. We all have big decisions to make in life, and God promises to guide us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Sometimes it's to change jobs and move. And sometimes it's to stay put on the same job and not move, even though they may be similar situations. Sometimes it's to leave a church or ministry for a different church or ministry. And sometimes it's to stay and serve in the same church or ministry. God knows all the factors. We don't. God promises to guide us in all decisions that we must make. But remember this biblical principle for decision making. God does not always direct in the same way in similar situations. Doctrinal point number two. The birth and reign of Christ does not nullify Jeremiah's prophecy against Jehoiakim. The birth and reign of Christ does not nullify Jeremiah's prophecy against Jehoiakim. Let's read the first 9 verses of chapter 22. Thus says the Lord, go down to the house of the kings of Judah, and there speak this word, and say, hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, you who sit on the throne of David, you and your servants and your people who enter these gates. Thus says the Lord, execute judgment and righteousness, and deliver the plundered out of the hand of the oppressor. Do no wrong and do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, or the widow, nor shed innocent blood in this place. For if you indeed do this thing, then shall enter the gates of this house riding on horses and in chariots, accompanied by servants and people, kings who sit on the throne of David. But if you will not hear these words, I swear by myself, says the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. And many nations will pass by this city, and everyone will say to his neighbor, why has the Lord done so to this great city? Then they will answer, because they have forsaken the covenant of the Lord their God and worshiped other gods and served them. Again, we see in these verses how social justice is very important to the Lord. If Judah would treat the orphan and widow and stranger with fairness and justice, then kings in Israel would continue, verses 1 through 4. But if they disobeyed the Lord in this area, then the kingdom of Judah, even though it had the beauty of Gilead and Lebanon, would come to an end because they turned away from the Lord to foreign gods, verses 5 through 9. In verses 10 through 12, we have the message of judgment concerning King Jehoahaz, or Shalom. For thus says the Lord concerning Shalom, or Jehoahaz, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, who reigned instead of Josiah his father, who went from this place. He shall not return here anymore, but he shall die in the place where they have led him captive and shall see this land no more. In verse 10, the king that had just died was Josiah, the father of Jehoahaz. Jehoahaz then reigned only for 3 months and was taken as a captive to Egypt and never returned, as predicted in these verses. In verses 13 through 19, we have the third message of judgment directed against King Jehoiakim. Remember, he was also a son of Josiah and brother of Jehoahaz. Let's read verses 13 and 14. Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by injustice, who uses his neighbor's service without wages and gives him nothing for his work, who says, I will build myself a wide house with spacious chambers and cut out windows for it, paneling it with cedar and painting it with vermilion. We see from these verses that Jehoiakim wrongly used false labor in his royal building projects and did not pay his laborers. We see in verses 15 and 16 that Josiah, Jehoiakim's father, was a good king, but Jehoiakim practiced oppression and extortion. Verse 17. Yet your eyes and your heart are for nothing but your covetousness, for shedding innocent blood and practicing oppression and violence. We read in verses 18 and 19 that when wicked King Jehoiakim died, he was not lamented or given a proper burial. Now in verses 20 through 30, we have the fourth message of judgment, and this is directed against Jehoiakim, son of Jehoiakim. He is also called Jeconiah or simply Coniah. And this message contains our doctrinal point for this chapter. The birth and reign of Christ does not nullify Jeremiah's prophecy against Jehoiakim. In verses 20 through 22, Judah is told that all her shepherds and lovers in her sin of spiritual adultery would be swept away in the coming Babylonian captivity. Their homes, built from the cedar of Lebanon, would no longer be nests of security. Verse 23, O inhabitant of Lebanon, making your nest in the cedars, how gracious will you be when pangs come upon you, like the pain of a woman in labor. Even if Jehoiakim were a signet ring on the Lord's right hand, he would remove it and give it into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. Verses 24 and 25. That's how sure the Babylonian captivity was, even for the king and the queen mother. Verses 26 and 27. And now comes the curse on Jehoiakim in verses 28 through 30. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, write this man down as childless, a man who shall not prosper in his days, and none of his descendants shall prosper, sitting on the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. This prophecy against Jehoiakim said that no descendant of his would ascend the throne, and no descendant of Jehoiakim ever did become king. But Jesus, the Messiah, is a descendant of David through Jehoiakim. And the Lord is certainly king, and will reign as king over this earth when he returns. So does the birth and reign of Christ nullify this prophecy? No. Because of the virgin birth of our Lord, Jesus is not a biological descendant of Jehoiakim. He has the legal right and claim to the throne of David through Jehoiakim, but his biological link to David is through Mary, who was also in the line of David, but not through Jehoiakim. See the genealogies of our Lord in Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 3. So the birth and reign of Christ does not nullify Jeremiah's prophecy against Jehoiakim. Practical application. Take the way of life and not the way of death. Take the way of life and not the way of death. In Jeremiah chapter 21 and verse 8, the Lord said to the people through Jeremiah, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. The way of life was to get out of the city. To stay in the city meant death. Now, in application for today, the Lord would say to everyone, there is a way of life and there is a way of death. The way of death is to do nothing and remain under the wrath of God against sin. The way of life is to get out from under the wrath of God against sin by turning to Christ, who died for your sins, and by receiving him as your personal Savior. Take the way of life and not the way of death.